We desire your prayers. I've been coming here a long time. And I'd say this is one of the smallest crowd of preachers that I've seen in this meeting. I was in LaRonger. What was that, Molly? The assembly meeting? Camp meeting? I don't know, one of them. And somebody come to me and they said, evangelist did, he said, you going to be here tomorrow? This will be Saturday night. And I said, well, yeah, Lord willing. And he said, you're the man. I said, I ain't nobody. I'm just a little boy. He said, you're the man. I come to find out the reason he said that is because everybody was leaving on Sunday morning and going home, and I was the only one left. So we're in the latter days. Need a lot of prayer this morning. I've had a scripture that's been rolling through my mind, and I said, Lord, I'm going to have some help with this, and got up again this morning, got to praying and looking. The Lord started last night and felt like that he's given us a little message. This is healing day, as we call it. And I like to preach on something, if the Lord wills, on healing day, that's concerning faith or healing or something along that line to help us, encourage us, stir us, or whatever. So we desire your prayers this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning to thank you for being a great God, a great Savior, and a great Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you this morning. We're desperate for your help. Lord, you're the preacher, not us ministers. You're the preacher, and we have to have you every time we get behind this sacred desk. Lord, it's a fearful place to stand, so to speak. And we ask you this morning that you'll give liberty and freedom and anointing for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you'll rebuke the devil in every way. If he tries to hinder in any way in the pulpit or out of the pulpit, we're looking to you, Lord, to just run him on down the road. And we're looking to you, Lord, that you will give liberty and freedom in every way. Thank you now, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's go to Romans, the 10th chapter, 16th verse, please. And again, we desire your prayers. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who hath believed? Elias, Lord, who? For they have not believed the gospel, not believed all, they have not obeyed the gospel. For Elias saith, who hath believed our report? This morning have we believed the report? Backslid or whatever, and I need help. And the Lord begins to deal with them through the word of God, illuminating and inspiring and challenging through that word, convicting through that word. Well, today he wants to do the same thing with you and I concerning faith and in divine healing. He wants to use that word to help us, challenge us, stir us, because both faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Another scripture says, when he returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? So faith is the whole bottom line. It's a foundation, as I call it, of our experience. And he wants to take our experience from the time that we get saved, and he wants to build that experience of faith and build it and build it and build it to a stronger, powerful anchor that he can use in times of storms and in times of hard places. He wants to use it as something that will be a great blessing to us down the line. When you first get saved, this word is your, I don't want to call it, it is your foundation, I guess is the way to put it. But then as you grow, as you go through battles and trials and temptations, and you get victories and so forth, then you're building your own foundation by the Lord, or the Lord's building a foundation unto you. And so consequently, you can look back at your experience, and you can say, Lord, I got the victory there. You can give it to me again. I got the victory here. You can give it to me again. You're able to give it because I've seen you work, Lord. I know what you can do. I know the power you have. I know the workings that you have. Probably right now, I would say in some ways my faith is stronger than it's ever been. Because I can look back at the healings, I can look back at the deliverances, I can look back at the things that God has done for his people down through the years, and the mighty, miraculous things that he's done over and over and over. I can look at that, and that inspires my faith. That challenges me. That stirs me that I can move out for God, and that God is going to work in answer to prayer to his people and working with them over and over. So he said, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Now then, here's the thing. Are we hearing? Are we believing? Are we hearing? Who believed the report? But then, Lord, help us to listen. When we come to meeting, help us to listen to the word of God. Help us to have our minds into the service. Oh, but Brother Carl, you don't understand. I got some work on Monday that I got to do, and I got to... Well, Lord, help us to tune that out for at least an hour. Listen, you don't understand what it's like to get up here and preach the gospel. You think, oh, my, just no problem at all. I'd like to have you come visit some of us in our homes and sit there and watch us for hours after hours praying and studying and getting ready for one message. You think, boy, it's just easy. Preach an hour. Yeah, 1 hour. Preaching's work about 8 hours of work. But the bottom line is we probably got hours upon hours upon hours in that message before we get in the pulpit. There was one night I was in Kentucky, Black Ford area, Marion actually, and they had told me that there was going to be some young people come that night to service. So I prayed and felt like the Lord gave me a message. And then we got there and none of them showed up, just a regular congregation. I'm sitting there going, what do I do now? What do I do now? And I felt like the Lord gave me one scripture. In Proverbs, I think it is, the just falleth 7 times, but riseth again. He gave me that one scripture. I didn't even know where it was. I looked it up, and I started. I got up with one scripture, and an hour and a quarter later, I was through. That one scripture, he multiplied that and worked with that all the way through. But that is not the common norm of ministers and the way we operate. So consequently, people think it's so easy. But listen, folks, you need to come in a way of listening and hearing and desiring that the Lord give you something directly to you. And he'll do that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He takes this word and he implies it individually to you and I to help us to get what we need as we're going along. All right, now then, let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter. Now, from here on, we're going to be in two books. That's a little different for me because a lot of times I'm roaming around from Genesis to Revelation. But this time we'll be in Mark and we'll be in Matthew. All right, Mark, 10th chapter, 46th verse. This is some of the most powerful Bible, in my opinion. Matter of fact, this is the most powerful verse in the whole New Testament. It said here, and they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his outer garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man saith unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now then, number one, when he heard of Jesus coming, he started crying out. Folks, when you and I have a problem, we have a trial, a tribulation, a healing, affliction, whatever, we need to cry out to God. And we don't need to quit crying out to God. We need to keep crying out to God. Blind Bartimaeus, they tried to shut him down. They tried to turn him off, so to speak, and he would not be silenced. The Lord wants to hear you cry to him. He wants to hear you, Lord, I need you. I need your help, and so forth. He wants to hear his children call upon him and beg him and plead him. That is a blessing to him to know that we are so interested in the heart, soul, mind, and body, no matter what our situation is, that we're reaching out to him and crying to him day and night if we have to, and he responds to that kind of cry. Blind Bartimaeus wouldn't be shut up. Listen, folks, don't let the devil shut you up today. Young people, don't let the devil shut you up. He loves young people. He loves middle-aged people. He loves old people. He loves all of us, bless God. And he wants you and I to cry out to him. He wants to hear his people pray, fast, sacrifice, do everything that we need to do, because he wants us to reach out to him. All right. He cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heard him and he stood still. And he commanded him to be called. He said, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he cast aside his garment. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now this is my scripture right here. This is not the total of the message, but this is a scripture, Lord, give me this many, many years ago. And I have loved it and preached out of it many, many times. But the bottom line is the only one that could say this is Jesus Christ or God. There is no rich man, there's no president, there's no congressman, there's no senator, there's no vice president, there's no king, there's no queen that could say this. What will thou that I should do unto thee? Rich people can help us. Senators can help us. Molly and her husband, first husband, T.L., had a problem one time, and they couldn't get any help. Finally, they reached out to the most powerful man in the Senate, Strom Thurmond, and they said, we need your help. He looked it over. Next thing they knew, he had it done. He was able to do it. But that's not the average of everything, because you and I, a man rich, no matter what his color, no matter what his power is, the bottom line is he can't do the soul. He can't help us in our soul. What wilt thou, blind Bartimaeus? What do you need this morning? Listen, what do we need this morning, saints? What kind of healing do we need? You say, well, I've got a great affliction. It doesn't matter, folks. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. By my stripes you're healed. He's got all power in heaven and earth. He is able to heal anything this morning. It might be 2023, but he said he's the same yesterday, today, and when? Forever. He's got the power to heal us. No matter what it is or where it is, he can do it, praise God. All we got to do is reach out in faith and get a hold of it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Reach out in faith. He can do it. Oh, what will thou? He's asking you this morning, what will thou that I should do unto thee? What do we need this morning? Where are we at? I've got a number of afflictions in my body. It's gotten to where I'm aching here and there and over, upside down. It ain't just my legs. I got several other. I've got arthritis so bad right now, I can't hardly use these two fingers. I got finger, this finger, that finger, and that finger, and it bothers me. But the bottom line is, I'm not 25 anymore. The bottom line is, I've gotten older. But the bottom line is, Jesus is the same. And I know there's a sister in here that had bad arthritis in her body, and God healed her through and through. God done it. Wasn't doctors, wasn't surgeons, it wasn't anybody else. It was Jesus Christ, the righteous, praise God. He healed her. Thank the Lord for that. That's been an inspiration to me. And said, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Immediately. Didn't come later on down the road. Now then, but there's times through the years right here and over there and at Monarch. Brother Salmon said one time, there was a sister come, I believe it was, up to the altar, was prayed for, anointed, prayed for. She had a tumor within her body. She went up to the restroom and she passed that tumor. Just immediately. What I understood, what I remember anyway, happened immediately. Oh, today, immediately. Listen, folks, we're still in an immediate age with Jesus Christ the righteous. We're still in a time when Jesus can do anything at any time and do it immediately. Listen, he has done so many things for his people from Genesis to Revelation and all the way down to here in 2023, he had done things over and over that our faith ought to be raised high. But how high is our faith? How deep is our faith? How strong is our faith? The Lord wants you and I have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. All right, let's go to Mark 11 and 12. It says, and on the morrow, when they come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he was come to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit on thee hereafter forever. His disciples heard it. All right, let's go down to the 20th verse. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, look at, consider, weigh. The fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now, this is not talking about a little bitty hill in Oklahoma. It's not Oklahoma mountains, if you want to call them that, compared to the Rocky Mountains or nothing. But he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what? Soever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe, have faith, that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Lord, help us. Lord, help us this morning to have the type of faith that Christ wants us to have. He has worked for years to build our faith. He has worked for years to build a foundation of faith. He has worked for years to take us from A to Z, and he's still working on us to die. It'll be a life of faith, a life of godliness and holiness and righteousness. It'll be something that he'll work with all the way down till we hear him say, come, thou blessed. The fig tree, the way I look at it anyway, is something that would represent my small trials and tribulations. Easy thing. But then he goes on down here, and he says, have faith in God. Now, Peter and James and John, have faith in God. What have I done? What have I showed you? How many people have I healed? How many miracles have I worked? What have I done before you? Folks, what has he done today? What do you see today? How many of us here can raise our hands and know of being healed? Or somebody being healed? How many of us here have seen miracles in the last 50, 60 years? Amen. I know you children ain't that old. But the bottom line, the Lord has showed us over and over. He had showed them things. And he said, have faith in God. Yes. For verily I say unto you, truly, truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall. Listen to what this is saying. Ye shall, that's absolute, that's positive. He's saying, you shall have them. If I told you, you shall have a Cadillac tomorrow, I'm going to give it to you. Would you believe me? Now, you probably wouldn't, because I ain't got the money to buy you one. But Jesus Christ is not limited in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He has that power. He has that wisdom. He has that knowledge of everything. I tell him that I'm praying for people that are sick and so forth. I tell him, I say, Lord, you know more about them than anybody else does. You know more about them than any doctor does or any surgeon does. You know more about it. Lord, you can do it. I know you can. I know you can heal them. What things soever Now then, a mountain is something large. What's the largest mountain you've ever been on? I guess the biggest one I've ever been on is Pikes Peak, I guess. I was in one in Hawaii that's about 14 to 15,000, but I think Pikes Peak is higher than that. I was in Alaska and saw the Great Mountain there, but I wasn't on it. And then I only saw a little bit of it because a certain brother Tommy Middle and I was talking, and I was keeping my weather watching it, and because there's so many clouds and so forth enshroud that particular one, Mount Denali, I think it's called, shrouds it, you can't see it very good most of the time. One brother told me, I think he'd been up there two or three times to Alaska and had seen it one time. Well, I was bringing my, coming into where I was going to go into the great park up there, and I had, at least I felt like I did, I happened to look over there and I saw this gorgeous mountain. I thought, Carl, you need to stop and go get out and get your camera and take a picture of it right now. And I didn't do it, and I've regretted it ever since, because the next day that was supposed to be a perfect day wasn't perfect at all. But Jesus, when he says, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, no matter if it's Mount Denali, whether it's something else, he is able to take that mountain, how big it is, and he's able to move that away. He's able to put it down. He is able to move it and take care of it. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. So the part is not on him, it's on us. Our doubt hinders us. A little doubt hinders us. A large doubt hinders us. Shall not doubt, shall not. All right? It goes on down here, and it said, ye shall have. All right, so you've got shall not in the 23rd verse, and shall, ye shall have in the 24th verse. So help us to have ye shall all the time and not have the doubting part hindering us in any way. If it is, folks, we need to go to pray. We need to fast if we need to. Whatever we need to do to inspire our faith and to challenge us and to help us to get where we need in our faith to be able to believe. He told me, it's been some months ago, and some of you probably heard me hear this, but in the 11th chapter of Luke, well, in two, three places in there, it says, ask and you shall receive. And I was meditating, thinking, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me the scripture, and it says, and I say, ask. And I got a hold of that. I thought, he is telling me personally to ask. He's telling you personally this morning to ask. He said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. He said, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. I want you to get that down in your heart and your mind. Ask and you shall. In other words, it's positive. It's absolute. The Lord honors his word. The Lord does heal bodies. The Lord does give victory. The Lord does things. There is people that is in deep sin, and they may think the Lord can't save me. He can save anybody.
That's right.
He can deliver anybody. Oh, but you can't get over your drinking, or you can't get over your smoking, or your drugs. Yes, you can, by the power of the deliverance of Jesus Christ. He can deliver anybody from anything at any time and do it, and they never have any problem with it again. I've seen it done. I've been with people that was done. All right, let's go to Mark, the 5th chapter, and 25th verse, 5 and 25. Now, this is a story that you've heard many times, or Bible that you've heard read many, many times, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and she touched his garment. For she said, now listen to what she's saying, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who stretched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." All right, number one, she had something that nobody could help her with. And it said she had the issue of blood. She had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was desperate. She wanted to be healed of this. And doctors couldn't do it. Said she grew and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So it got worse in time. But when she heard of Jesus, now I don't know how long it had been when she had heard of him, but listen, folks, there's people in here that's heard of Jesus all your life. Some of you have been raised up this way. I wasn't quite, in a sense. I had heard of Christ all of my life, basically, because Mama and her parents and so forth were Church of God. My dad was a Baptist. His dad was a Baptist preacher. So we had had worship. We had read the Bible as a family and so forth. We had done that. So I'd heard Jesus, but I hadn't been in a regular church services till I got about 18. That's when I got saved, 1971, in the fall. Started coming here to this meeting in 1971. All right, she heard of him. She heard of him. Now think about this, folks. She heard. And she thought, if I can get to him, here's my help. I'm desperate. Are we desperate this morning? Are we desperate for healing? I never thought of it maybe this way, but I can just about see her, that the light went on her mind and it fired her up, so to speak. She thought, if I can get to this man Jesus, I hear he can heal anything. He's delivering his spirits and he's healing everything that's brought to him. He can heal me. He can do it. I got to get there. Where's he at? Let me get there. Now, we don't have 747s in, and we don't have cars like we do now. We don't have pickups and vans and so forth. So she had to probably walk or go on a carriage or something like that, or ride a horse or a donkey. She had to do that, but she was desperate. In other words, it wasn't easy for her to find him. I'm preaching stuff this morning I've never preached it, I remember. She went to get to him. Are we willing to do anything that we got to do to get there? Have we got anything that's hindering our faith? Have we got any little, what do you want to call it? I don't want to use the word sin, but any little thing that the Lord is dealing with us on, trying to bring us up another step higher, getting us to a place where he wants us to be? Have we got something that's hindering us? Listen, folks, be willing to put it down. She was willing to do whatever it took to get there. There's help in Jesus. Let me find him. And away she went. And she found him. She heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind, and she touched his garment. She said, if I may just touch his clothes. Now, this is faith, folks. If I can just get close enough to touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now this is her. This is a strong faith. This is a powerful faith. Maybe the strongest that's in the Bible, so to speak. Well, there's others in there. It's great too. We're going to read about. But the bottom line was, she felt like that if she could just get a hold of this, she could just touch him. She did. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. She knew it. Praise God. Now then, Jesus immediately, knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples, "Well, you know all the people around thronging you, and you're saying, who touched me?" But he looked around to see her. He knew who it was. He looked at her, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came. She knew Listen, folks, we can know that we are healed at this altar. We can feel the power. Sister Joyce Cunningham, I'll name her name. I don't know if she's here this morning or not. But she knew that she had cancer in her body. Her husband made her, that was unsaved, made her go and find out what was wrong with her. And she had cancer all through her upper body. And she came to the altar in a meeting. Brother Michael Smith was holding for us there in the fall of 14, I believe it was. And she come down there, and the three of us anointed her and prayed for her. And she felt a warm touch go all the way down through her body. And she knew something had happened. So she went back to the doctor. Well, I don't need to go. John said, yeah, you need to go. We need to know. And so she finally gave in to her husband, who was a very persistent man, I might say. And she went, and the doctor, they done their tests and whatever. And he come walking in, and he said, I can't believe this. I can't understand this. Something's happened. Your cancer's totally gone. There's not a trace of it anywhere in your body. Amen. And she said, let me tell you the rest of the story. And she started in. That's what doctors need to hear. I love it when doctors point up or look up and said, I've done everything I can do. It's up to him now. It's up to him, praise God. They need to come to a place that they know they can't do everything. I didn't like the one that said, I am a doctor. Listen, folks, I am Jesus Christ. I am that I am. He's the one from the beginning. He'll be there at the end, and he's the one going to take it to heaven, praise God. Oh. The woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done, knowing. I had a breakdown in 06. Matter of fact, I couldn't come to it. Well, I didn't make it to this meeting at all. It started on Monday. I called Brother Stanley, and I said, I will not be there. I don't think any of the men. Well, what's your problem? I've got a breakdown. It went for a good year, probably, or over. But there was time, folks, I didn't even want to go to church. And I definitely didn't want to get in the pulpit and preach. But I had no choice. I had to. So I would pray through and get a message, and I would go to the chapel. And I would get up in the pulpit so exhausted, feel like I had worked hard for hours and hours. I didn't even feel good from here all the way down. And I turned the phrase, you pray, I preach. And guess what? They would get to praying and the Lord would touch me. Literally, I could feel it. And there was a warm feeling went all the way through my body. And from that point, the power come and I took off. Preach like I normally did. And old Brother Bud Hossam said one time, said, for a man that don't feel good, you sure did preach good this morning. Well, it wasn't me, folks, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. The Lord's in this whole thing, folks. Listen, he created you to start with. He's kept you all this time. He's got the power to do anything you need him to do. So, Lord, help us to have faith that he will heal us of anything. Deliver us, give victory, give power, whatever the situation is. He's able to do it. She knew what was done in her body. Praise God. And Jesus said, she fell down, she told him all the truth. He already knew it. He knows all about us. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, this morning, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have that faith this morning. Lord, help us to have that give us the victories, that will give us whatever we need. I preached on lots of subjects, everything from hell to heaven. And you know what I like to preach best, if I may say this? I like to preach this while I'm preaching right here. The type that I'm trying to encourage you, trying to challenge you and stir you. That's the type I like most. I preach the hard ones, but the ones I really like is the ones that I get fired up on and really going on because it's the Lord. I love to preach about Jesus. I love to preach about what he does. I love to see people get the victory, get saved and sanctified, satisfied, healed, delivered, and blessed in every way. That's what I like to see. And praise God, if my little or your little preaching can do it, hallelujah. By the power of God. Let's move to Matthew, the 15th chapter. 15 and 21 here of the good book of Matthew. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered, and he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and just cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I love these scriptures right here. She come to him. Now, folks, sometimes we're going to have to get lower and lower to get what we want. Yes. Humility is going to have to be at the head of the thing, and we're just going to have to be getting down lower and lower. This woman right here is one of the greatest examples of humility in the Bible that I know of. And said here, the disciples said, "Behold, woman of Canaan," and so forth, "have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." He answered her not a word. Now, this don't sound like Jesus, does it? He's good to the people. He's touching and blessing and working. They're thronging him. Even when, what was it, the one that climbed up in the tree? Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree. Jesus come by and looked up. And here he's basically just pushing her away and pushing her away. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him and said, "Well, just send her away. She's crying after her." The disciples were against her, but she didn't quit. Woo! That's right. Listen, folks, she didn't quit. Get that. She didn't quit. But he answered and he said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, I wasn't sent for you. I was sent for Israel, the Jews. I was sent for them. I wasn't sent for you. Then she came and she worshiped him. Again, to me, she got a little bit lower. A little bit lower. She was doing whatever she thought it would take to get help. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She couldn't heal that child. She couldn't help that child. She needed the help that this person, no doubt again, she had heard about Jesus. No doubt again, she had heard about his power and his healings and his work and his deliverance. And she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me. Help me, Lord." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there crying, "Lord, have mercy and help me. I need you, Lord. I need you badly. Help me." I've been there, and I dare say all of the saints in here have been there too. "Help me." But he answered and said, "Not meet to take the children's bread." In other words, to take what I brought, the word of God and everything, it's not meet to take it and cast it to the dogs. Now then, he's calling her a dog. Most people have been up and out of there. Most people say, "Adios, I'm gone. You ain't going to call me a dog and get away with it." She said she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She meant that. She meant that from the depth of her heart. No matter how far he pushed her, no matter how hard he was on her, she didn't quit. "Truth, Lord," she said, "yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Boy, some of them get pretty fed, pretty well fed from the master's table. I know one dog, little old darling, about that tall and about that long, and house dog, and grandma was feeding that dog so much chicken strips, it started having an effect on the body, and the vet said, "You got to quit that. You got to quit feeding that dog all this human food and get back to dog food. Well, doing pretty good, Sadie was, because she was getting fed, but till she got sick anyway. But this woman here said, it's not meat. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. In other words, I don't need very much, Lord. I just need a crumb. I need something from you to do the work. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Lord, help us this morning for him to look at us and say, great is thy faith today. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. O woman, great. Great. How great is our faith this morning? Great is of unusual size. We were going down the road one time. We stopped to get gas and going down a street looking for a gas station. I've been through this area a number of times back here. I don't even go that way much anymore. But went through there and there was a huge mining dump truck. That's the only way I know to tell it. Coal or mining of some type. It was huge. It was so high up that the wheels were so tall that I could just about walk totally under it and never duck my head anywhere, or at least in one area. It was huge. It was great. The Lord wants our faith to be great this morning. He wants our faith to be something that will touch him, that will get his attention. Humility, great faith and great humility working together to get us to the place where he wants us to be. He wants us to have another victory. Brother Austin Wilson one time was, I term it like a holiday. Whether it really was, I don't know. But he said the streets were all busy, the sidewalks and everything. And he was in a battle and he was walking down the street and he's thinking about these things going through his mind. And he turned into the store. And like I said, there's a lot of people. Lord spoke to him after he got inside. He said, I'm going to give you this victory just like I have all them others. I'm going to give it to you. Great is thy faith. He wants us to have more faith now than we had 20 years ago or 10 years ago. He wants us to have great faith, something of large dimension, something that will get us the answers that we need to have, something that will cast that mountain into the sea. Now, I don't know about you, but I go to traveling where mountains are, and I get to seeing them, and this old preacher gets excited. Oh, I love mountains. I went to preach to one person one time on the side of a mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. One person. Went to Shreveport a while back and preached to two. Now, this is a lot bigger than one and two, I guarantee you. So I'm preaching to about a monarch right here, so to speak, compared to that. But this morning, the Lord wants you and I to have the faith to cast the mountains into the depths. He wants us to have the faith that will get us the results that we need, whatever it might be this morning. All right, let's go to Matthew 8. I told you I was going to stick to Matthew and Mark. They're getting a workout this morning. Matthew 8 and 5. 8 and 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy and grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Now here's another one. I love this reading. Not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus saith in 13th verse, he said, and Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed. Now then, we're going to get it back on top of us, so to speak, even more. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The bottom line here, this man knew what authority was. He was in a position of authority, and he told the servants to go and so forth. And the soldiers do this. They go, come, they come. Go here and do this. And he knew the power that he had. And I don't know what he had heard, but evidently had heard enough to let him know that this man has a lot more power than I do. This is a man of power, a man of authority. I've never met a president face to face. I seen one go down the highway one time in a motorcade years ago in Oklahoma City, but I've never seen one face to face. But I've seen face to face, I'd say, with Jesus. I've seen him, I've looked at him, I've considered him through the Word and by the Spirit. I've seen him, I've read what the Bible says. Again, I've seen what he can do. And this man had this type of knowledge of men. And then he had heard about Jesus, and he said that I'm a man under authority, and if I can do it, you can do it. You've got more power than I do, Jesus. You've got more authority than I do. And Jesus looked at him and said, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Not seen it. Children, saints, he's still got that. He's got that authority. He wants to see that great faith right now, today. He wants us. And he said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee, as thou hast believed. This morning, if he would tell you that, what would you do? In other words, to me, he's leaving it on his shoulders. But he knew he could do it. In other words, if you believed, you've got this kind of faith, as you have believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He got it because he had the faith. But Jesus laid it on him, so to speak. All right, let's go to 9 and 27 of Matthew, my last scriptures here. It said, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. So he said, believe ye this morning, saints, that I am able to do this. This is what he's asking us. This is my last scripture right here. Believe ye. Now listen, folks. Now then, they've got all kind of things they can do with eyes. They can take cataracts off. They can do all kinds of eye surgery. They can, I guess, even take eyes out and give other eyes back in. I don't know how that works. But anyway, I'm going to tell you something this morning you may not want to hear. But I've seen people that's had cataract surgery that really didn't do them no good.
Yes, that's true.
And I've seen people that had it that did do it good.
That's right.
So it's not an absolute. My oldest sister, the one just younger than me that died, Kim, she worked in Atlanta at a hospital, well, probably a private surgical center is what it was. And it specialized in bones and eyes. And she said, Carl, we would do 10 surgeries of a morning on cataracts at $3,000 a pop. At 30 grand in just eyes alone. That not including any of the bones. And I guess they were successful because they had plenty of business the way she talked. But folks, this morning, like I said, I've seen some that have worked and I've seen some that hadn't worked. But I know this one right here, no matter what he does, will be perfect. I know he can do it. And if he does anything to your body, it will be absolutely perfect. Perfect. Do you understand what I'm saying? Perfect. And he said here, he said, and then he's come to the house to see, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Do we believe this morning? Do you believe? I'm not trying to be hard on us saints. I'm trying to stir us up. They said to him, yea, Lord, we know you can do it. How did they know it? Evidently, they had heard something. We got a whole book full right here. You can go from Genesis to Revelations and read of all the various things that God and Jesus Christ have done for the people down through the years. Things that are astounding. And he's still the same today. Astounding works that he's done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Believe ye. This morning, can we believe? Lord, help me. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith. So, Lord, help us this morning to be fired up in our faith, so to speak. To have strong faith. Faith that strong faith that will do something, that will move the mountains, that'll cast them into the sea, that will heal whatever we need healed, give victory in any place that we need victory. The Lord is for his people. He is for you. He died for you. He died for you, and he wants you to have victory. He wants you to have healing. He wants you to have everything that he needs you to have. I need some money, Brother Carl. He's got money. I've had him drive up and give it to me at home or wherever I might be. I've had him call me on the phone and say, come by and give me money. I've had people give it to me, reach in their pocket and pull out and hand it to me in meetings. I've had him mail it to me. Various ways God has supplied needs down through the years. Well, yeah, he can do a few hundred. Listen, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and every jet that flies in the sky. And 747s cost a lot of money, folks. If he owns them, he's got anything you need. He'd give you a jet airplane. He'd give you a mansion. He can give you a new Cadillac or a new Toyota or a new whatever. He can give you anything you need this morning. All the way from A to Z. So where are we at? What do we need? This is a multi-purpose message in a sense. It's for divine healing. But this morning, if there's anything that you need, anything that you're battling, there's a message preached at Myrtle. A good while back, I don't remember, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And a young lady got up on, this was on, what was it, preached? Saturday night, I believe. Yeah, Saturday night. She got up Sunday morning, and she said, I've had a need, and I never could get victory over it. And I guess the way she talked had gone on for several years. And she said, I come to the altar last night, after the message, and I decided I'm not leaving till I get it. I'm going to get it one way or the other. The problem lies in us, folks. It don't lie in Jesus Christ. It lies in a lack of faith. It lies in whatever the problem might be. It's not him, it's us. So Lord, help us to get us where we need to be, just like was preached by Brother Philip last night, to get on down there. Get on down there to surrender. Do we really believe, do we really understand what surrendering means? When a police come after you and they'd say, stop in the name of the law, what would you do? Would you keep running? If you saw the gun, what would you do? There's a lot of times that people have been shot and been hurt if they would just done what the law asked them to do. If they just go and stop. Drop everything, whatever they need to do, just do it. I saw a deal the other day of a policeman that was trying to get a man to shut down his car. And the policeman literally jumped up on the hood of the car, was hanging on with one hand with a pistol pointing. And the man said himself that I was scared he was going to kill me, and he kept driving anyway. Now, that's stupidity, if you ask me. Because if he's sitting there with a gun pointed at your head and can blow your head off, stop! Stop in the name of the law! Listen, folks, we need to, when Jesus says it's time to surrender, you need to go, yes, sir. And we need to just get on down there. That little lady said, I just got on down there and got on down there, so to speak. And she said, folks, I got what I needed. I stayed there till I got what I needed. Amen. Woo! I've gone with them from the chapel up to the, well, like in Myrtle, been times. David Gaines, that's my nephew by marriage. And David and I have left the tabernacle, and we've gone up and prayed up in the chapel so we could be have plenty of quietness and working with. I'm talking about years ago. Probably before, well, I don't know if before Rebecca and I married or after, but anyway, it's back there. But David went into deep sin. But God didn't quit. And I may be wrong, but saints here at Guthrie, was he not a blessing to you? Was he not a blessing with his texts and his things that he would do? He got it. And he lived it for, I would say, well, it wasn't even a, yeah, just about a year. A little over a year, maybe. You talk about a great blessing when I helped preach his funeral. The fact that I knew finally David had hit the rock and he didn't quit till he got there. Aunt Myrtle, can you help me? Uncle Tommy, can you help me? Yes, come on, child. And them and the Lord teamed up together, and it was a great blessing to a lot of people. Oh, this morning, Lord, help us. What do we need this morning? Lord wants to help us, saints. This has been a great meeting. You've heard a lot of great preaching right here in this meeting, and I hope it continues to the end. I want the Lord to continue to bless us. Let's stand and have a song, please. I appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me.